Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Dual Screens Gamescast. This is episode 45. We're almost at 50. We just hit episode 50 of the Dual Screens podcast, Andy. It was pretty amazing. And yes, Andy is here. He's in that other box. Hi, Andy.
That was a great show.
It was. It was a fun show. It was a fun show.
Guest from Istanbul, Turkey. That's like another first for us.
Yep, we went
breaking down barriers.
All the way to Turkey. Turkey.
Turkey.
I think they say Turkey. I don't know. Words are hard. And also joining us again is our newest member. A couple of weeks in now, we have Taylor. How are you, Taylor?
I'm great, Steve. Andy, how are you guys? Just chilling.
Yeah, you know.
Right. Doing good.
Slept a little better this weekend. After
you jumped off games early.
Yes, I did.
All weekend, and I missed you a lot.
Yeah, I was exhausted. And you know what? Friday, I still didn't sleep very well either. I stayed up a little too late. But Saturday, I went to bed a little bit early. But yeah.
Really?
You know how it is. You just, the brain going and you're just kind of sitting there and I watched The Mandalorian.
Mm-hmm.
You know how it is.
I get it.
Welcome, everybody, to the Dual Screens Gamescast. This is the internet's number one gaming news podcast starring three people you've never heard of, probably. The show posts each and every Monday for your listening pleasure on your podcast service of choice, including our home, Podbean, and of course the video on demand one day after recording on youtube.com/dualscreenstv. And why do I say one day after? That's because we record it live on twitch.tv/dualscreensstream. So you could go over there, give us a follow, join us for the show, hang out with us, ask questions during the show, call us out on our bullshit, fact check us, do whatever you want, and get in there. You can do that. You can listen to the podcast, Dual Screens Podcast, post on Thursday. Andy already went over that a little bit. And if you want to support us on Patreon, please do. Go to patreon.com/NDS podcast, just like our Patreon producers, Colton the Apprentice Nestler and FNH Paul. We cannot continue to grow without all of your support. And remember, $1 gets you a bonus episode in which you can vote the topic and also gets you into our VIP Discord channel, our exclusive channel.
Exclusive.
All right, let's just jump right into the show. We're going to try and move it a little longer. We went a little over an hour and a half last week, so I want to move the show right along.
Let's not do that again.
The pleasantries are gone. Like, Taylor, you're here. We don't have to fucking prop you up.
We don't fucking know who the girl about anymore.
No, let's just move on and just do the thing.
Games.
It is time for the adventures in gaming. Taylor, what have you been playing?
I have been playing Risk of Rain 2.
Mm-hmm.
That game went 1.0 earlier this year. It's fucking awesome. I love it so much. And I have also, in preparation for a game coming out this week, been going back and playing some old Assassin's Creed games, mm-hmm. namely Assassin's Creed Origins. I haven't played this game since it came out, so I wanted to go back. I recently got the Uplay Plus, so I could just download whatever Ubisoft game I wanted on my PC. And decided to play it again. And that game is, though mechanically similar to Odyssey, just so different. In Odyssey, you like feel like a superhero, and this game is much more grounded. And I can't tell which I like more. But I'm excited. Very excited for the new Assassin's Creed.
I started Origins. I started Origins like when it first came out, and I think I couldn't get past like the first 2 hours. I was so bored. That whole series just kind of soured on me, and now I think the only reason why I might do Valhalla is because of the next gen experience. But we'll see. We'll see what happens. I've been watching you play Risk of Rain 2, and it keeps making me want to buy it. I'm not gonna lie.
It's so fun, dude.
You really should buy it. It's a great game.
Andy,
they
go ahead. Go ahead, Perry.
I was just gonna say, unlike a lot of other roguelites, they make it so easy to break that game with the types of abilities that you can get.
Yeah.
It's just so satisfying.
Yeah, I noticed like you had like a crazy, like one of the two of you was just not losing health. You just had such a buff on your health region that you just could not die. Andy, what have you been playing? I see a couple of things here.
Yeah, well, I went back in the Wayback Machine, the old PS2 era, and I played some Haunting Ground, one of my favorite horror games of that era. It was like it was a spin-off to Clock Tower, so that same kind of hide and seek mechanics in that game. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But there's a dog companion thing you can get with you.
Okay.
And like issue commands, and you can like scold them or praise them or tell them to sit or wait or attack or follow you and what have you.
Can you pet the dog?
Of course you can pet the dog. Okay. That's all part of the praise. Okay. They should get down on one knee and give him a little head shake.
Okay, fair.
Nice and goodly. But then I also played. Now, when I said I had wish listed 10 games during our Midnight Succubus podcast a few weeks back, that was no lie. Mm-hmm. And yesterday, I played for approximately 6 hours Tower and Sword of Succubus, which are two games which were released years ago, but it was a bundle package. Okay. And as I was playing through Sword, it is Legend of Zelda. Mm-hmm. So it amazes me how these games have a very good foundation of a Zelda game or a Castlevania game, a Midnight Castle. It's all there. All the mechanics, everything works like you want it to work. It's got great music, amazing sprites, even better boss fights, but just the fucking in it. That someone sat there and like, and this one is so lewd. I was busting a gut laughing at what I was seeing on that screen.
I thought you were going to say busting something else. So I guess that's
my
okay.
brother beside me more yeah, likely. Cause you know, straight man.
Right.
All the,
right.
All right. Titties on the screen.
It's even though we've done this interview and I'm like, I get that there's an audience for it. I don't understand how you go from being like, oh yeah, and then we're gonna do this puzzle. You have to move this platform over here, and then this woman is gonna get raped right there. And then you're gonna collect this item, and then you're and it's like, wait, why? What's happening? No, I get it.
The best part of this game, Steven, say it right now. So you can actually have sex with enemies on the screen to drain their life force from them.
Sure, obviously, yeah.
And so on the sidebar, it has like your character in full pixel art. Uh-huh. And when you do an attack, the breasts jiggle. I'm like, that's fun.
I would not expect anything else.
I'm like, that's fun, but it's distracting a little bit. It's distracting. It's like, it's always there. But when you take too much damage, of course, your clothes fall off.
They fall off. Yeah. Yeah.
When your clothes fall off completely and you go into town, no one takes you seriously. They just talk about your tits. And there's one vendor in town that just sells ladies' clothes.
Wow. Okay. Well, you hear that, Nintendo? Get your act together. Start getting Link Pangus.
Steam is cutting edge, man.
Cutting edge. Mm-hmm. So I played a couple of new games. I reviewed Yestermorrow on the website, dualscreens.com. Yestermorrow is kind of a precision platformer, pixel art precision platformer with a really beautifully developed world and interesting story that I enjoyed playing, but at the same time, I just wanted more from it. I felt like it was doing... It did precision platforming like an 8 out of 10. Like it's a really good precision platformer. But all the other aspects as far as gameplay are concerned were just... not great. It was just like, come on, go the extra, give me a little bit more. There's combat in this game, but the combat's really just a nuisance. It's not like the main crux of the game, and you don't have very many options. It's not like a game like Celeste in that way or something like that. Like if there's an enemy, you just kind of get them out of the way so that you could continue platforming. It's not like you're using them as the mechanics for the platforming in any way. For most of the game, there's like a couple that are the exception, but for the most part, it's, you know, just figure out how to platform. But the really cool mechanic there outside of the platforming is it plays with time. Very similar to Link to the Past, where you're going into the future where it's all dystopian, everything's broken down, and then you go to the past before all of this shit happened, and you're trying to piece back together this guardian figure, who is basically like kind of like a giant temple, but he's got like godlike powers or whatever. So you like go in the past to get through obstacles, find a shrine, go back into the future, and now you've got past something that you couldn't get because it was destroyed or something like that. And these shrines are everywhere. So it's not like you're just being going from point A to point B and there's a shrine here, do this, and now there's a shrine here, do that. It's more, there's a shrine here, you could go back, or you could walk another 3 minutes and there's another shrine there. Like, so your options are very scattered. It's a little bit more open world, in air quotes, as far as that. But like, to actually further the story, there's an obvious order to use the shrines, but you can use the shrines whenever or wherever you want. It's pretty cool. I think that if you like precision platforming and you love gorgeous pixel art and you're interested in a nice little story, I think it's a no-brainer. It's $15. It should definitely be in your collection. But if you're looking for something more action-heavy or with more RPG elements, which is what I was kind of hoping with the combat and the skills that you get, then maybe you want to look elsewhere. But I thought it was pretty good. I also played Democracy 4 on Saturday for my brand new indie stream. I'm doing Saturday afternoon indies, and that was the first one I did. It is a super nerdy, super difficult, super in the weeds, literal president simulator where you have advisors and you're trying to keep your advisors from leaving, but you're basically trying to get reelected. It's a 4-year cycle where you're implementing policies. Some of them take longer than others, kind of like Civilization, and you're just trying to get reelected. So you're trying to you're trying to see who likes you the least, maybe give them a little bit of policy change to make them a little happy while balancing the negatives from the guys that really like you. You can't be too liberal, you can't be too conservative, or you can, and just hope that you get enough of them to reelect you. And then you like make little speeches and stuff, and then you get election. My first term, I was the least liked. I got like 500 votes. Like, it was awful. I didn't know what I was doing. I couldn't figure out how to get other, like when you sort your popularity. So I would sort it by lowest, and I'd be like, okay, how do I get this guy, the trade unions that absolutely despise me? You can't search for policies that will help trade unions. You have to go physically through all of them, or you hover over them, and then it'll draw like a little line, and it'll say this policy right here affects them. So you could hover over that, and you could say, oh, if I spend $1 billion on this policy, it'll raise their happiness, you know, by 20%. So then you kind of play with that. And I thought it was fun. The second time I played, I did get reelected and I had to stop after that. But it's pretty cool. And of course, nice. Taylor and I, oh, doggy.
Oh, boy, oh, Steve. Baby.
Oh, my. Oh, my, boy. The band is back together. Apex Season 7. Oh, man, did they do a thing with this season, Andy. And it is time.
It's so good.
For a minute of Apex starting.
One fucking minute.
Now. Season 7, new map, Olympus, new character, Horizon. Loving Horizon. Uses a black hole to suck people in. Uses a gravity-defying like vortex that shoots you in the air. I think that's the opposite of vortex, but you know what I mean. Shoots you in the air and stuff. Really great. What are you thinking of the new map there, Taylor?
It's really fun. I feel like the lack of choke points that you have from like King's Canyon or... I forget the name of the other one, New Horizon or whatever.
World's End.
There we go. Yeah.
And
those have a lot of like canyons that end up being choke points. This seems very open, which I like. Mm-hmm. It's hard getting used to the map flow, and it seems like it all ends up coming back to that one big circle building in the middle every single time. But aside from that, it's very fun. I haven't played Apex since probably the beginning of the year.
And that's a minute of Apex.
It's nice to get back.
We're not allowed. Now that two of us are playing, Mike, we might be able to make
Mike
it 2
made
minutes.
A good point. No, yeah, Mike no. made a good point. There's two Mike, of us, so we get 2 minutes.
Mike, you shut your whore mouth. It is a minute of Apex. And we'll do a minute of titties on the
well,
stream.
Since it is a new season, I do want to say that I think the sound is more broken than ever. It's a problem. It's a very big problem. Mm-hmm. You cannot tell where enemies are anymore with their footsteps. It just sounds like they're in you. It sounds like they're in your face when they're either above you, below you, behind you, it doesn't matter. It's just poor. It's just bad. And I think that the way this map is configured, it's leading to a lot of second, third, and fourth party fights. So you have almost no time. You really have to think about when you're going to get into a conflict now. It's a lot more like Warzone in that way, where Warzone it was, okay, these guys are fighting over here, but at any moment, somebody could drop on us with a car or a helicopter or just run up and just, you know, whatever. So it's definitely a little bit more cerebral than it was. But the map is fucking gorgeous, man. It is so beautiful, and I love playing it. And I actually feel like I'm playing better than I ever have. I feel like I'm way more accurate with my shots. My movement is getting way better. My decision making is way better. But it just seems like every fight I get into right now is against six players instead of three, and then three. It's just like three, and then 2 seconds later, the other three come. So I just got to get used to that balance. Andy, take us into the indie news update.
One of our former guests is now publishing games. That's like a thing I'm realizing lately.
Mm-hmm.
So Tribute Games is publishing a little game called Steel Assault, which when you look at it, put it in the chat, by the way, which you should. Sure. It looks like Contra on steroids a little bit. It's like a side-scrolling shooter, beautiful pixel art. You can zip line. There's zombies. It looks insane. Huge boss battles. Again, gorgeous sprite work. I am so here for this game, and it's out next year. Future guest on the show. I'm calling it right now.
Yeah.
It's going to happen.
This game looks dope.
We'll make it happen.
Taylor, if you haven't watched that, watch that trailer, because it's really fantastic. All right, so let's get into the dual screens report. And, Taylor, if you are watching that, I could go to Andy for the first one if you want.
I'm not watching it. I will watch it later.
Okay. Watching during this show.
You do it all the time. What are you talking about? You always do that shit. I don't know.
Well, you're blabbing about Apex. That's when I watch it.
Oh, good. I'm glad that you're paying attention.
It's all white noise to me, dude. Go ahead, Taylor.
Story number one. Take Two takes one more. Take Two has recently acquired renowned developer Codemasters, most well known for making like the Dirt Rally series. They're absolutely incredible. I love the Dirt games. I think they're probably the most enjoyable racing games out there. Because they're different. They can be as arcadey or as like simulation as you'd like them to be, but I really enjoy them. So I think this is a huge pickup for Take Two.
Yeah, it is something we want to know is that it, or something we should clarify is that the deal isn't done yet, but it looks like they're confirmed that they planned to sell to Take Two. So this is going to be, I feel like this is a kind of best of both worlds thing, because I think Take Two needs this kind of game in their library if they really want to, and this helps them so that they don't have to like create a new studio to do it. And I think the racing genre, honestly, from a top tier perspective, doesn't get the respect it really deserves, and also doesn't really have the competition that it really should. I mean, everybody talks about Forza as the Xbox one, Gran Turismo as the PlayStation one, and then everything else kind of just sprinkles in. I think we need those everything else sprinkling in to really be pushed up, like those, you know, Need for Speed and those games. But I think this could be cool. This could be really cool. I miss the days of like, what's the next cool racing game? And they were all pretty much awesome. Like Test Drive was a great series back in the day.
Project Gotham Racing, dude. That's one of my favorite racing games.
Project Gotham
time.
Was dope.
Oh my God.
But, you know, it's another acquisition which you don't always want to see. You don't want to see these things contract. You don't want to see people or companies buying companies or whatever all the time.
It's consolidating power at this point.
Right. But at the same time,
it's like big banks swallowing up small banks. That's what it feels like. I think
right,
these deals
right.
go through.
I just don't know if, you know, Codemasters was like doing that well. Like they just needed that publishing arm to really push them through, kind of thing. I don't know.
Dirt 5 had a lot of hype behind it in the pre-release stuff with the footage, and people were really excited about it. So I'm not sure if this is like a financial decision or just the money was too good, because they got deep pockets, Take Two. So, and again, like I said before, it's a good feather in their cap to have a racing game. You know, you do sports racing. Seems like a good pairing of the two.
Yeah, why not?
Yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah. Andy, I don't even want to go to this next story, bro. I just don't want to do it.
You don't want to do it.
No, I don't. I don't want to do it because
you think I want to do this shit?
My heart breaks for you.
Yeah, I'm sure it does. This is a two-parter. They're both related because they both involve me getting fucked in the ass. So part one of this is evidently PT. Okay, okay. PT is not going to be playable on PS5. It was at one point playable, but then Konami went in and said, no, we're not going to allow that. Konami, why are you the way that you are?
Every time, Konami?
I want to do something fun or exciting.
Who hurt you?
You make it not that way. I hate so much about the things you choose to be. So I don't get this. I don't understand. Like, is the Kojima butthurt that bad? Is the pettiness that extreme that what was once functional, they were like, nope, get out of there. We don't want that shit. It's not even on the store anymore. We're talking about people who managed to get this on their PS4s, who want to play it and preserve it on their PS5. They can't.
I wonder,
how dead do you want this thing?
I mean, everybody has questions, but sure. I wonder if this has anything to do with Kojima possibly having the rights to PT in some way, and they just don't want to pay him. And maybe there's some language there that says if this appears anywhere else but PlayStation 4, get it up. You know,
right? But then again, it's like it's going there in a non-official capacity, though. It's someone, again, you can't get it from the PSN.
No, I know. I just wonder if there's like weird language, you know. Also, I mean, Konami's—they're idiots. They're complete morons. So
right, which again, this next bit of news tied to this first bit again, it breaks my heart because I feel like I'm just being played for the whole year now. It seems,
yeah.
So just when I thought all the new Silent Hill rumors had died down for a bit, game shows came and went. I had a hope set up, only to be dashed in the last second.
Right.
And I keep falling for this shit for some bizarre reason. But here we go again with a new rumor. Silent Hill reboot to be revealed at the Game Awards for PlayStation 5. This comes from someone. Roberto Serrano, who I think is an insider of sorts. I've seen him before on the Silent Hill forums on Reset Era, who was saying less than a month ago that this wasn't true. He's like, I have contacts. Whatever you guys heard about months back about a game that's been developed for 2 years or so, not going to happen. Not true. And then magically, this guy is like, oh yeah, I was wrong about that. It is happening. And you'll see it in a couple of weeks in December in the Game Awards. So it's like the heart can only take so much because
Andy,
I desperately need this to be a reality. You have no idea, Stephen and Taylor.
Here's what I need you to
do. Yes,
Andy. Here's what I need you to do.
It's like, you know, hit right over there. You know, just need to get a little more of my fix.
I need you to not watch the Game Awards.
No, you can't do that to me.
You got to not watch it. Don't even give them your eyes because this is a grand scheme to get you to watch the Game Awards.
I refuse.
That's all this is to not, get you specifically.
Listen, the Game Awards, they reveal things like Mortal Kombat 11, the Xbox Series X. They have reason to get eyes on their content.
Sure.
Things get shown there.
Uh-huh.
This compared to a console reveal is small potatoes.
Well,
not to me, obviously, but I'm saying for most people.
I got to be honest with you. If this Silent Hill thing is real, it's probably a much better regarded secret or guarded secret than this last fucking thing that was announced on N7 Day.
Oh,
yay!
Dear God, yeah, please. Go right ahead.
What a transition.
The Mass Effect Legendary Edition is here.
Oh, my God.
It's finally going to be a real thing. Mass Effect Legendary Edition, and this is from EA's website for Mass Effect. Mass Effect Legendary Edition will include single-player base content and DLC for Mass Effect, Mass Effect 2, and Mass Effect 3, plus promo weapons, armors, and packs, all remastered, all remastered. Remember, the first one was the problem in the rumors. Remastered and optimized for 4K Ultra HD. It will be available in spring 2021 for Xbox One, PlayStation 4, and PC with forward compatibility. That doesn't make sense. And targeted enhancements on Xbox Series X and PlayStation 5. More info coming in the new year. Wow.
Yes.
Can we just...
I'm so shocked. I'm shocked to my very core. I had no idea this was happening. I wouldn't have guessed
it. I was talking to some friends about this, and reading the blog post from Casey Hudson very much read like, hey, remember BioWare that didn't make Anthem? Remember us? look. Also, new Mass Effect
We used
game,
to be so
forget
good.
About the other one. Forget about Andromeda. New Mass Effect game that they teased as well. Like,
oh yeah.
I don't know. Yeah. It was very much like, hey, let's forget about these past two fuck ups, and let's get this goodwill with our community again. But I'm very excited about it.
Yeah.
Man, they
talk about a fall from grace. By the way, that's a true heartbreak. I say,
it's just it. Like, people love Mass Effect. People play it still. I watch our own Patreon producer FNH Paul plays Mass Effect. I think every Saturday. I want to say, or soap opera. It's either soap opera Saturdays or Sundays. I don't know. Space soap opera. Whatever. He's big into themed streams. But I think he's at the, you know, almost done with three. He just played through all three of them. Like, is he going to do this shit again now? Like, is that going to be?
I asked him about that today, actually. I asked him about that today. He said he is playing it immediately.
You see what I'm saying? People love this shit. I could not.
They're great games, dude.
I could not for the life of me get through the first one. It bored me to tears.
The first one is a little bit of a barrier of entry, I feel, for a lot of
people. The second one was cool. I never finished it, so I never played the third. But it was cool, I will say that. But I felt like, but I didn't fully do the first one. I kind of just pretended I made decisions. Maybe I'll play it this way. Taylor, talk to us. Give us something.
Yes. Yeah. Next item here. Game tangential. The Witcher Season 2 from the team over at Netflix is being delayed because a number of people on the production staff and in the cast tested positive for COVID-19.
Oh, my God.
And all I have to say is boo. I'm very sad. The first season was fantastic.
I still got to watch it. I think I watched two episodes.
Henry Cavill okay?
Yeah, I don't believe Henry Cavill was tested positive.
It's so weird that fucking Superman is making a Netflix show. It's just weird.
Right, no, but it's the awesome. Witcher, dude. It's the Witcher. But if you know Henry Cavill, he's a huge dork. So
I know.
He was born for this.
Yeah.
With his $5,000 gaming PC. he wanted this shit.
And here I am taking out my tea. Setting it up, screwing into the base, setting this ball right on top. But superheroes sell. He is the face of one of the biggest superheroes on the planet. Like, and now he's reduced himself to playing a Netflix character.
I wouldn't say he's reducing himself.
Artistically, no. I am saying, vision in front of people, that take him as a serious movie star. Making a Netflix series is a step down.
Guy that puts on spandex and the cape is a serious movie star?
I mean, come.
What was his last dramatic role you can think of?
I mean, he's more of
an
action
called?
Star.
Ghost Protocol, right?
He was in that.
Sure, that's
like
comic book adjacent though. It's like spy.
Was he the man from Uncle too? Was he in that? Was that him?
Yeah, he was in that. Yeah, sure.
It was dope. That was cool.
Right?
Get owned, Andy. Get owned.
Listen, the guy loves this shit. And besides, if it was a Witcher movie, which you really can't do, given how much it's a huge lore in that series.
Sure. I mean, it could be like the Lord of the Rings. You can make a 3.5-hour movie. Why not?
Like 20 of them? I don't want that in my life. I don't want that.
Look, Steve, I feel like you just shouldn't undermine this man, okay?
I'm not undermining the man.
No, you are. He approached Netflix about it.
I don't.
Running to do
I don't besmirch him for making the decision. I just think that to the public, to the public eye, nobody's being like, oh, Henry Cavill, he's going to play The Witcher. Let me go get Netflix now. Like, I just don't think that's happening.
Well, doesn't that tell you how much this role means to him? Because
this has nothing to do with him. I'm just talking about the optics of him.
You think he cares about what people think about him
again,
being on Netflix?
I don't
show?
Care if he cares. I'm just saying it's weird. You get movies, you get Netflix movies, you get sure. like, you know, De Niro doing the thing with Scorsese, you get the movie.
What's a bigger deal? Seeing him in there like Sandra Bullock in like fucking that Bird Box movie.
But you see what I'm saying here. This has got the Sandra Bullock. Sandra Bullock has been irrelevant for quite a few. Well, what was that?
Right,
that's Blind Side, right? That was the last time she was
trying. Relevant. Well, she's still relevant-ish.
She's
just for some context, Steve. By June of 2019, The Witcher 3 has sold over 20 million copies.
Yeah, it's beautiful. It's a beautiful thing.
There's a lot of people that like that series.
And that's
Taylor,
push subscriptions too.
I highly doubt you could distinguish the two circles that makes the Venn diagram of people who watch Superman movies and people who are playing The Witcher 3. They are a very large, similar Venn diagram, friend. Like, I'm talking about people that go to the movies to see.
How did we even get on
what
this?
You anyway, put it in the dock, sir.
Witcher season 2 is delayed. I'm sad.
Whatever. It's fine. It's fine. But yeah, superheroes, totally bankable. Andy?
Speaking about heroes, they're bankable. Not so bankable there for is. Square Enix, it seems. Yeah, I did it. I got one. I did it. Marvel's Avengers was one of the biggest releases for Square Enix this year, and it performed very well, but it seems not so much. HD Games business division has recorded a loss of $63 million.
Mm-hmm.
Oh boy. So despite selling, I want to say, 2 to 3 million copies, it wasn't enough. That must have been a big budget game.
No, it was huge.
And
absolutely,
given the fact of how buggy it was, how glitchy it was, how games of service it was when it came out, and now we have DLC being delayed till next year, the next gen version being delayed till next year.
Yeah,
this looks like a black hole for this particular unit for Square Enix.
Yeah, there were.
Now,
yeah, go ahead.
Listen, overall, Square did very well this year.
Overall,
they're
yeah,
up 43%. From last year.
Ooh, baby.
16 billion yen. So it's pretty fucking good. They had a good year. And that's driven by the likes of FF7 remake and FF14 subs, of course. But this seems like a bit of a poof for them at the end of the day.
Yeah, so digging into it a little bit further, I think the coronavirus could have at least a partial blame here. Because looking at it, it looks like their net sales went up a pretty sizable amount, 23.7 billion yen, which is about 230 million USD, according to this article. Mm-hmm. But the cost of goods sold was a lot more significant. So like transporting, all of the logistics, like getting this stuff printed, getting the game made, things like that. Yeah. I genuinely think like, global pandemic taken out of it, this would be a significantly smaller loss. I don't think they would recoup all that money still, but I think that has to at least play a major part of, you know, what's going on.
Yeah,
but again, when you're seeing a game that's positioned as a huge multiplayer game and digital sales are on the rise as well, you think if it was a great game, then they would push more sales.
You also didn't see this.
I was a no on that game from like the day it was announced. So I get it.
You also didn't see this type of thing for, you know, The Last of Us 2, Ghosts, sure. You know, any of the other bigger games that came out this year. You didn't hear. All you heard was more and more people are buying games. Like it was everybody's mm-hmm. up. I think yes, that like part of it is the logistics of it, of course. You know, increase in cost, but I think they just mismanaged this game from the very beginning. I think they were mixed messaging on what kind of game it was going to be. If this game was a free-to-play games as a service and you actually monetized it smartly instead of like half monetizing, because like the way they do monetization now is like weird. It's not necessarily a games as a service because you're still paying the $60 and then you're, I don't know, it's just bizarre. I think they probably could have made actually more money, because I would be more forgiving. Like, I would have given a shot at it, right? And I'm not going to play a game that has a battle pass and not buy the battle pass. If I'm putting any of that time into it, I don't want to be feel like my time was wasted while I was playing it.
Yeah.
So, like, you would sell your battle passes, and then all you have to say is, hey, it's an Avengers game. There's so many characters.
That's what sold it.
There are so many characters we could add to this game. Give us $10. Here's a character. You know,
right?
Like there's no reason why they couldn't.
Hey,
do that,
we're gonna delay Kate Bishop. But again, much to your point, it's like the branding of it as a Marvel game, that was the big sales push. And then when people start to play it, and you're seeing the player number just drop in Steam like dramatically,
right?
Like something is not right, and it's the quality of the game. It's very finite, and it doesn't push you to keep playing past the end game, which isn't that long, unlike a Destiny. Yeah. So
I feel like they just like didn't tap into the IP well either. Like they have such a laundry list of iconic heroes that they can pull from. They obviously have like the core Avengers that they launched with, but outside of Spider-Man, like they didn't really have a roadmap for like notable superheroes. Like where is Black Panther? Where
where is Hawkeye?
That are a part of like the MCU now that you can kind of just like attach onto are just like notably missing.
Yeah, and who knows, maybe they have plans for that, but like they just didn't communicate enough, I think, and get people excited for holding on to the game and investing into it long term. I mean, I held off for that very reason. I held off because I was like, I'll wait for next gen and see if they fix everything, but they didn't. Speaking of next gen, the last story here is after Digital Foundry really dug in to the next gen consoles, they have a ton of PlayStation 5 stuff going on. Check them out, because they did some awesome work on the technology and what the PlayStation 5 is doing for backwards compatibility. It blew them away. I'm gonna butcher it if I try and explain it to you, but that's not what we're gonna talk about here. As of right now, you cannot back up your, we already spoke about the fact that the expandable storage internal for the PlayStation 5 is not working right now. It is just a port. It is there for future expansion. They are most likely, it's because they're testing all of these drives so that they can work with their new I/O port and all that other stuff. But now we found out that you cannot store your library on an external hard drive, which is something that current gen allows you to do. I believe you can even play some games off of external hard drives in some cases as well, which I don't really care to do. I would never do that. That would be like buying, I don't know why you would do that, honestly. But with just about 600 gigs, or is eight? It was eight, right? So 667.
So after the OS, it's 667.
So 667 gigabytes of games. You would hope that you would have that option. Now, as I was kind of thinking about this, and then I'll kick it to you guys for a little discussion. As I was thinking about this, like, I'm not a person that stores games like that. I'm done with a game, I delete it. Or if I don't think I'm going to play it this month, I don't need it on my system. I'm just not that kind of person. Plus, the way that this game downloads games is way quicker than it used to be. The file sizes are much smaller, and they just download quicker because of whatever compression they're using. And they're using a better Wi-Fi bandwidth now and Ethernet and like all that stuff. So I just feel like it sucks for those who like are anal about it and they want their library there to be able to just copy. But I feel like copying from an external hard drive to your internal solid state drive would take just as long, if not longer, than just clicking download and just putting it fresh on your solid state. What say you, Taylor?
I think this is like a mild loss for PlayStation. Like this, honestly, it does suck, because the size of Call of Duty Cold War just got released. And that game is 250 gigs. or some crazy number like that. Like, it's absolutely massive. That takes up a third of your storage. If you pair that with like Assassin's Creed Valhalla, which if it's anything like the PC file size is going to be close to 80 gigs. You can name off 4 or 5 games and then your entire hard drive is full. Like, that sucks, especially for people that have like IP restrictions, you know, they have data caps, things like that. Like, you know, you can't cycle through games and re-download games as often if you're like constantly deleting them and stuff. And I know it's not as big of a deal now because there's not a ton of games on the new system. But like, you know, you think about the PS Plus collection that we just did the YouTube video about, like if people are wanting to play those right at launch, like that's a, you know, Monster Hunter alone is like 60 gigs. There's some big games in there. So I sympathize with people that are frustrated about this, and I understand where they're coming from. That being said, there's obviously going to be a solution in the near future, it sounds like. This isn't going to be something that like hinders the system for its entire lifetime. But at launch, I think it definitely sucks.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, I'm kind of with Taylor on this one. The PS Plus collection alone is like 820 something gigabytes, so even day one you can't even get all that on your PS5 hard drive, so you have to make some exceptions or, you know, cut some things out. But you know, the Series X, from what I understand, it allows you to transfer between both the internal and the external storage, so even though you can't play the game on your external drive, you can still store it on there,
right,
to go back and forth. I'm not sure why this isn't allowed in this case, why it's like, nope, you just can't put your stuff on there. But I do see this not being an issue in the near future. It just seems like a weird thing not to allow. Like, it's a drive, it's there for storage. If I can't play the games off of it, I understand. But can I have the data just on there when I need it to play a game?
I would honestly, again,
gigabytes and gigabytes.
Yeah, large. I would be shocked if there wasn't a day one patch that addresses some of these issues in these reviews, and any of them on both sides of the console spectrum, like, because you know an update's gonna happen. You're gonna plug the thing in, you're gonna hit Steven, update, it's gonna update.
I was seeing today that some Xbox games won't have a quick resume feature on the Series X, and that's being worked on as we speak.
Right.
These things aren't perfect when they come out of the oven for launch day. It's just it's enough to get it out the door. It's not a total fucking, you know, flaming dumpster of a mess. But I see this not being an issue for too long.
Right.
After launch.
Just to kick it into chat, Buzz says you can play backwards compatible games from the external on the Xbox. They just don't get the SSD boost. I think I understand that, but I think because PlayStation is focusing so much on their SSD and the boosting, and like most of the impressiveness comes from their SSD, I think that might be one of the reasons why they wouldn't allow you to play off of an external. Because it's not as simple as routing a USB port into the IO port. You know, like it's a soldered piece of material that talks to that solid state drive. So like I think there's just a little bit different architecturally going on there, but as far as storage goes, I just think that it's going to be something that'll come down the line. But one of the biggest bummers about that I took from everything is that there's no quick resume for on the PlayStation 5 in any capacity, aside from the fact that games just boot up a lot quicker. You could swap pretty easily, but they don't just save it the state. And I wonder if that has something to do with the limited storage space as well, because Digital Foundry had mentioned in one of their other reviews that it has to cache those games that are paused. It caches all of those files, basically freezing the game. And you know, in some cases, dozens of gigabytes of data is cached while you're still playing all the other games. So maybe it's a situation where they were like, hey, we're not allowing them to expand it just yet, but when we do, and if we can, maybe we could say, hey, maybe that's why it's so much less too. Maybe the OS, I can't see the OS taking 400 gig or whatever it is gig. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's a, I think this, it was an 805, so it's 200 gigs. Like, I can't see an OS taking that much, but maybe that's part of it. Maybe they're kind of working their way around something like that. Cause it is, when you hit the button, if you looked at the, UI, it is like, it looks like a tab. Like, it's called the Switch tab. You hit it and then you, everything you played recently is right there, and you could scroll down, click it, it'll close and it'll open the game. It takes maybe about 13 seconds to get you into the game, you know, to the main menu, and you press load or whatever. So I just wonder if it's something that they're just going to figure out a way to do on the cheap that doesn't make it so that it, you know, kills your storage space. But that's for bigger brained people than me.
Well, on the note of the quick resume, I think Sony's pushing those activity cards in their UI as like a replacement for that. You can jump into certain things. It's not where you left off exactly, but it's a similar notion in a sense.
Right. Yeah. You can go in, say, I want to do this trophy, click it, go in, do the thing. Speaking of big brains, let's talk about big, dumb, idiot brains. Let's get into the hype zone. Because this baffled.
Oh no! This one made me. This is the real tragedy. I'm sorry. I'll take it back. People are this dumb. They exist in the world today.
Mm-hmm. Ladies and gentlemen, I have bad news for those of you that are getting a PlayStation 5. Mm-hmm. This is terrible news. Cancel your pre-orders immediately. Because yes. PS5s are shutting down. They're overheating. They are going kaput in Best Buy kiosks. This is a warning. This is a siren call to PS5 owners that you must not store your PlayStation 5 in a 16-inch by 16-inch completely enclosed glass or plexiglass case. Please don't do this. This is a terrible idea.
Damn it. My entertainment system's ruined now.
This is what I'm saying. Do not do this. Now, here's an interesting twist. Somebody that works at Best Buy, if you go in this whole tweet about the thing, says, hey, I work at Best Buy. The PS5 that you're seeing in the glass case is not a real PS5. It's a dummy unit. The real unit that's running the games is underneath, locked behind a panel.
Nice.
With no ventilation whatsoever. He's like,
Oh my God.
He's like, it is actually worse. So, again, we cannot express to you enough, don't put this thing in a glass case of emotion. It is a bad, bad time that you are going to be setting yourself up for.
Could you imagine a console with one of the largest heat sinks with liquid cool metal mm-hmm. to keep it nice at a nice temperature is like, bro, I'm too hot. Yeah. What are you doing?
Yeah. Buzz, the kiosks are not the same. The Xbox Series X is not in a glass case of emotion. They're different kiosks. They're built differently. This is the dumbest shit. And you know what? The best part is, I don't even know if Best Buy, if it's a Best Buy kiosk. It looks very similar to the Switch kiosk that they had. You know, obviously the controller, where the controllers come out is very different. But that had like a little glass case also with this system in it, which also didn't have any wires coming out of it, which I guess should have made me remember that. But it's, did Sony provide this case? Like, what is why are you doing, like, this makes no sense to me. Like, even when they used to do it with the other consoles, it didn't make any sense. Like, what are you doing? Where is this coming from? But anyway, I digress. Be careful with your games systems. There was somebody in one of the Facebook groups I'm in, just to talk about the storage, who took a picture of his entertainment center where his PlayStation 4 is next to his Xbox. And he had a measuring tape and he's measuring it across. And he says, I don't think I'm going to be able to fit this in here. And the picture has both his PlayStation 4 and his Xbox hanging over the front edge of his entertainment center by about 2 inches. So I just typed, I don't think your current gen systems fit in your entertainment center.
Yeah.
Because he had the plugs jammed up in the back. Like, they weren't going out the hole. Like,
your shit can't breathe like that.
So, like, yeah, people are going to have a hard time with anything.
Imagine it's like a puppy in a shoebox that you give for, like, Christmas. You got to poke holes in
that shit.
Yeah.
My shit is going to be, I mean, you could see it here. I don't know if you actually can. No, NVIDIA thing is, broadcast is doing the thing. Hold on. I'm going to turn it off because I want to show people. Here, look. Look, there it is. It's just sitting there. Yes, it has headphones and a switch on it. I'm sorry, whatever. It is what it is. But there it is. It's on. It's open. It's around. When the PS5 comes, the PS4 is going to go on the bottom part, and the PS5 is going to go on the top part. And that's going to be the end of it. I don't understand. Just, like, whatever. It doesn't matter. It is what it is. Yeah, I wasn't planning on eating the nuts. That was the problem. That was the pistachio shells. I wasn't planning on eating them. Those didn't make it in my mouth. I pried them open with my fingers, so it's not really that big a deal.
Steven, no one expects to put nuts in their mouth, but then again, that's what ends up happening.
What's that?
It's just it's a fact of life, getting nuts in your mouth.
I have to put nuts in my mouth. It's a problem.
You do.
It's a problem. All right, let's get into the mailbag, but before and kick it to chat. But before we do, let's go to the Facebook question of the week, which was an interesting question, and I got really interesting answers from really interesting sources. A lot of interesting things. Here we go. This was the question this week. Xbox being more about having multiple places to play, how important is owning a Series X or S console to covering Xbox in the future? Parentheses, next gen. From a media influencer standpoint. We spoke about this a little bit on last week's show. Mr. Nuff says it's not. Joe Priestley says it's not. Thorne, our editor-in-chief, says zero importance. There is no reason to buy any version of the new Xbox at this point. A PC that's more powerful than the console itself will probably be the same MSRP. And with full PC to console integration from Microsoft, any Xbox for the foreseeable future is a poor investment. Steve says, if played on PC or Xbox, an opinion on a title they publish is just as valid as each other. Corey says PC is the way to go now, and I responded that wasn't the question. The question is,
we'll allow it.
Would Xbox fans or players accept coverage about Xbox if the games that we're covering are not actually being played on a next-gen Xbox? JT says Xbox games are what you'd call Microsoft games, so playing them on PC is good enough. And then here's Buzz Killington. Buzz Killington.
Oh, dear God.
Has finally said what we've all been fucking saying for a year. It doesn't really matter where it's played because it's still under Xbox. So the entire point would be that Xbox is getting covered no matter where it's played. Another topic here would be, are you playing the best version of said game? Odds are you're probably not. There's going to be a very small minority of gamers overall who will be playing the best possible version of any game that's either out now or probably over the next few months as well. And here's the kicker. Today's games have so much range of options that only a few are going to be playing the way they can be, whether you're on Xbox, PlayStation, or PC. Not many people are going to be on a TV that could display up to 8K, since there's a couple of games that will be over 4K. And have the 120 hertz needed for 120 frames per second. So, if you're playing on a PC, not many people have a maxed out 3090 video card and top tier monitor too. So, what's so good about gaming now because there are so many different options to play. Buzz Killington, Mr. Microsoft, Mr. Xbox, just said, without saying it, that there's no fucking reason to buy an Xbox.
Unequivocally.
Finally!
Stamp it. Count it. Now listen, finally. if you're a reviewer influencer, you're not going to be playing these games on your phone and say they're shit.
Right.
It had a horrible frame rate. It was pixelated. I couldn't get past the loading screen. That's not how it's going to work. If you have a decent enough PC, then you're more than able to play these games and speak on them. But again, to Buzz's point, there's no reason to buy an Xbox Series X or S this generation.
I do think it's important, like, if specifically on the topic of, like, reviewing things, if part of your critique of the game is the frame rate or that it looks ugly or whatever, like, disclosing where you played is important.
But oh, for sure,
just play the game.
right?
You know, and give your impressions of the game. I think right. that's
a I wonder, like, what's the validity of covering next gen Xbox? You know, like, what are we covering? What are we supposed to be covering? Are we supposed to be covering Xbox Series X games? Are Xbox Series S, Series X? Do we need to play both? Like, do we need to have it in order to have an informed opinion? Do we need to play both versions so we can review them separately? Like, what, or even not even just the games, the news in general. Like, oh shit, the Xbox Series X is, you know, I don't know, just got 8K support. Great, wonderful. None of us are going to be able to do that because we don't have 8K televisions.
Well, what's gonna happen, Steven, when we're like 2 or 3 years into this generation, and do we have separate reviews for the Series S version and the Series X version of a game?
I think from the big media outlets, yes, you're going to get that.
As the years go on, you'll have people taking advantage of what the Series X has to offer in terms of the power.
Mm.
And the S, I think, you'll have to say why, what the difference is if you're playing this right. on the budget console.
Right.
Buzz does make a good point in chat, though. That you should buy it because the equivalent PC would cost like twice as much, and that's totally fair. I mean,
yeah,
getting a graphics card with ray tracing, I mean, you're looking at $400, $300-$400 right there alone.
Right, and what I've been saying was that the consoles are for the people that can't invest in a good PC, and I get that, but what I'm speaking about specifically is people who are looking for next gen coverage. What are they looking mm-hmm. for? What are they accepting as next gen coverage for mm-hmm. Xbox? Does that only mean the Xbox Series consoles? Does it only mean the best of the two Xbox Series consoles? Does it mean they want or they're craving to know which version is good enough for them? Or is it just about the games? Because if it's just about the games, we could play them anywhere because that's what Xbox allows us to do. Xbox right. allows us as an umbrella allows us to cat just freaked out allows us to do that. So I wonder, do I even need an Xbox to cover Xbox?
I mean, we already have a precedent though on both PlayStation and Xbox. You weren't getting separate reviews for PS4 Pro versus a PS4.
That's
and
true,
Xbox
yeah.
One X versus One S versus right. PC version.
But you would see like, if it was like, if they praised the graphics, it would say PS4 Pro version reviewed or so.
Yeah, right. Yeah. And that's what I'm saying. Like, if the graphics and stuff are a major part of your review, like, yeah, mention it. But I don't think this is as existential as you're making it out to be, Steve. Like, I think we play the games and, you know, and all major outlets are going to kind of do the same thing that they did with Xbox and PS4.
Right. I just it's a little bit more cut and dry with on the PlayStation side, right? Because you're getting PlayStation 5 exclusive titles that you're going to be playing on PlayStation 5 that people are going to say, hey, how does this PlayStation 5 game play? Whereas on the Xbox side, you could say, hey, this Xbox Series X game. Well, yeah, it is an Xbox Series X game and it's going to run great. But I played it on PC on a 2060 Super. So take that with whatever it
or
is.
Or Xbox One X.
Exactly. So like years, that's yeah. just the weird thing. But like there are going to be yeah. outlets out there that are going to give that coverage because they can afford to. I just wonder more from like an influencer standpoint for us, for like how we're going to cover, because I am debating whether or not I need to pick one of these up. Even though my PC could play most of these games at or around those specs, and I'm looking to get a 3070 anyway, you know, at some point, so we'll see. All right, so Buzz actually does have a question he sent into the mailbag here. Lately, there's been a lot of random crossovers from Rambo and Mortal Kombat, Ninja Turtles and Smite, Godzilla and Fall Guys. I personally love any and all crossover things, just because they're cool to see what happens. What are some of your favorite crossovers from all time? Even if it's not a video game specific one, like a movie or TV crossover, maybe like a top five favorites from each of you. Well, we're not going to do that, but I will tell you mine and then I'll kick it to you guys. My favorite crossover wasn't a real crossover, but it was the most amazing thing I've ever seen as a fan of the Ninja Turtles. But when the Ninja Turtles, I think they actually did it for the most recent one too. But when the 2003 Ninja Turtles cartoon went back to the 1980s Ninja Turtles cartoon, and they had both versions of the Ninja Turtles playing, like it was like a dimension thing, and they did episodes together. I thought that was the most amazing thing ever, and that is my answer.
Hmm.
That is a 80s Knit Turtles and 2000s Turtles crossover. Right. That's my answer.
Yeah, I'm a sucker for the Mortal Kombat character crossovers that they plunge from, like, either horror franchises or other popular franchises. But I think one of my favorites had to have been, hands down, Kratos in the Mortal Kombat reboot. Because that was just... You think the most savage character on the PlayStation side in a Mortal Kombat game makes so much sense to me.
Mm.
And he had some of the slickest fatalities. And again, it was just cool seeing him in that game. It was like seeing Solid Snake in Smash Brothers. Another cool one, too. But yeah, I'm all about that Kratos and fucking Mortal Kombat. It's just...
Love it.
Beautiful. Beautiful.
Taylor, what about you?
I think crossovers are kind of weird. I'm not going to lie. they like weird me out a little bit. I did think Geralt in Monster Hunter World was really cool.
Yeah.
That was the first one that came to mind. That's I really enjoyed that quest line.
Mike Kershaw's, there's a Power Rangers episode where every season where they bring back every Ranger from every previous season, and we're all acting like anything can compete with that. That's amazing. It's amazing. Jogon says, where is the next X-Men game, period? That's the question. Not mobile shit.
Oh my God. This is a big one. I feel, I don't know, man. You would think with Avengers performing so well for Square Enix, right, they would just, hey, it's Fast Track and X-Men game. But I'm trying to think, when was the last serious X-Men game we got? Was it X-Men Destiny in the 360 PS3 era? Has it been that long? I
skipped that one, but maybe Legends 2.
Yeah, and you should have. Yeah. Or, because I don't want to count Ultimate Alliance 3. It's not an X-Men game.
Right.
It's a Marvel game.
Yeah.
I want just an X-Men story with the X-Men.
I'm with you.
But it's long overdue, and there's nothing in the pipeline. Not even like rumors about it or anything at all. And it sucks. This is like one of the best Marvel IPs, is the X-Men part of their umbrella.
Right.
And they're so built for video games.
Oh yeah.
More so than I think even the Avengers in some cases.
100%. Absolutely.
Absolutely. So where the fuck are they?
Like, the X-Men were designed specifically to complement each other, whereas the Avengers were established heroes that were kind of smashed together, and then like,
right.
You kind of figured it out. Yeah, I'm totally with you on that one. I think that's dope. I don't know, man. I want a nice action RPG and where I get to make my own mutant and I get to be tutored by Wolverine and Storm and stuff.
That's what X-Men Destiny tried to be.
I know, but I want like a good one. You know what I mean? Like a good one.
Yeah, like one like that, but not shit.
Yeah, one like that, but not garbage. Maltese, do you think game streaming platforms will look to have exclusives the same way that television does? Stadia, xCloud, whatever Amazon comes with, have their own IP like Netflix. That is already happening. Like Stadia already has their own games that are exclusive to Stadia. Obviously xCloud, they're Xbox, so any Xbox exclusive game is going to be exclusive to xCloud. As far as streaming goes, they may be on other things. I don't think their IP are going to be anywhere else. I'm pretty sure they're only on xCloud. But yeah, that's essentially a given. Amazon is already making video games.
So Amazon has already published and then unpublished a game this year.
Yep. That was great for them.
Yep. That game was terrible, apparently.
Oh, I crashed and burned.
But they do have that MMO coming out, New World, that I've had my eyes on for a while. That game actually looks really
Which
cool.
Which one?
And if it's called New World.
Okay.
And if they can get that to work well on a streaming platform, like grinding in an MMO is like so compatible with like a quick ride on the train or whatever, like you know, knocking out a couple of like, you know, quick little missions or farming for whatever,
yeah, just
like,
killing a few mobs.
I think that would be huge if they could get that up and going on whatever streaming thing they're doing.
Right, indeed. Mikey Kirsch in the chat says Mario and Rabbids plus Rabbids is obviously the best crossover. That wasn't terrible.
Yeah. That's
not bad.
BO says Deadpool has been the best thing for X-Men in recent memory. That's true.
100% yes to that one.
Mm-hmm. All right. That is going to bring us to the end of the show. This was another great one. I appreciate you all being here for this one. If you want to follow us on Twitter, we are at @dual_screens. That's right. It's a new Twitter account. Not a new Twitter account. A new name. @dual_screens. The Series X launches tomorrow. If you're listening to this, it is launching right now. Kind of. Sort of. It's really the 10th. But people are getting it. And it's happening. So, congratulations on that. So, have fun and game. If you want to follow me, I'm at @batchout27. Andy's at @pantsguy. Taylor is @itspurger. If you want to follow our Facebook group, go to facebook.com/groups/DSpodcasts. Watch on Twitch live on twitch.tv/dualscreenstreams and follow our YouTube. Hit the subscribe button. Hit the thumbs up. Leave us comments below. youtube.com/dualscreenstv. Thank you, Zazu Pitts of Sour Note Productions, for our theme song. Thank you, Matt Murray, for our logo and overlay. Thank you, Andrew Douglas, for all of our cartoon art. And thank you to our Patreon producers, Colton the Apprentice, Les Nessler, and FNH Paul. Before we go, is there anything you want to tell the kids, Andy?
I am so ready for next gen, you guys. It's right here.
Bring it on.
I'm ready for it. I got the space cleared out. I'm ready to rock and roll, baby. Let's fucking do this.
Very excited. Very excited. Taylor, is there anything you want to tell the kids before we go?
The PS5 comes out on my birthday, and I'm very excited for Assassin's Creed.
Nice.
You should be. Yeah. Hell yeah.
Hell yeah.
That's going to do it for us. Thank you for listening. Thank you, Taylor. Thank you, Andy. Thank you, everybody. And as always, please be excellent to each other.